My friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace
from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. As we read once again the words of the gospel reading, I'd like you to think about a situation perhaps in your own life where you are having difficulty forgiving somebody for something that they said, something that they did against you. Perhaps holding on to a grudge, feel that they still owe you a debt. Listen again to these words of our Lord Jesus. From the Gospel of Matthew in the 18th chapter, Jesus tells this parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So this fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay that debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is God's word. Please be seated. Margarita Lasky may not be a household name amongst us, but she is a well-known British journalist and author, and she authored quite a few short stories as well. But what we really need to know about her is that she was a secular Jew and an avowed atheist. To her dying day, she denied the existence, or at least the relevance, of God in this world. And yet, throughout her life, she was absolutely fascinated by religion and by religious people. And she wrote a lot about it. And some have commented of her that it's almost as though she was secretly yearning for that which religious people had, but which was lacking in her own life. But it was not long before her death in 1988, in a moment of surprising candor in a television interview, that Margarita Lasky, that staunch atheist, said these words, and I quote, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me." End quote. And as I thought about those words and I mulled them over in my mind, I thought how ironic it is that it would take an atheist to teach me about my own faith. That the experiences and the thoughts of a God-denying secularist would help to open up my heart to appreciate and to treasure even more God's greatest gift to us, the forgiveness of our sins, the canceling of our debt in Jesus Christ. In a different way, this parable of the forgiving king and of the unmerciful servant does the same thing for us. It helps to open up our hearts and to treasure even more the good news of our forgiveness in Christ, and then to go the next step and to share that with somebody who has sinned against us. The background of the parable is this. The Jewish tradition was to forgive, but only usually with a condition. So, for instance, if somebody forgave you, you became indebted to them. You know, "I forgave you, so now you owe me." And then another tradition of the Jews, according to the rabbis, is that forgiving someone for the same sin 3 times is enough. That is all any human being or even God could possibly expect of us. Forgive three times. That's the limit. So when Peter asked about forgiving someone seven times, he thought he was being very generous. Oh, very pious. But then Jesus shocks Peter, and he shocks all of us when he says, no, not seven times, 70 times seven. And if you like to keep a scorecard or a spreadsheet, that does not mean 490 times. 7 times 10 times 7 equals a divine number of perfect completeness. It means never stop forgiving. Never. But of course, that turns traditional thinking on its head. When somebody sins against me, they owe me a debt. That's the language we use, isn't it? You owe me because of what you did to me. But Jesus says, no, it is not that they owe you, but now you owe them to forgive them from the heart. You owe them the debt of love. But that is more than any normal human being can stomach. And Jesus knows that, and so he tells this parable to show us where that grace comes from. That we can endlessly and generously forgive those who've sinned against us. He tells this parable about a servant who owes this massive, impossible debt to his king. And yet, although the king would be entirely justified in demanding repayment, as he does at first, yet in the end he instead shows mercy on a scale that is unimaginable, and he forgives that massive burden of debt. Shockingly, however, this man who had just been forgiven so much goes out and he meets up with someone who owes him a little bit of a debt, and he refuses to show mercy to that neighbor and has him thrown into prison. That wicked servant could not forgive as he had just been forgiven. And when someone like that servant, or like you, does not forgive another, it shows that he or she never really received God's forgiveness in the first place. Why? Because those who rejoice to receive God's forgiveness also rejoice to forgive others from the heart. It's just the natural flow of things, which is why Jesus, at the end of his Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, comments on the fifth petition. And he says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It is impossible to be forgiven and not be forgiving. And it's not that forgiving others earns your forgiveness from God or your ticket to heaven. No way. It's that our forgiving others is the sure sign, it is the proof in the pudding that we have received God's forgiveness of our massive debt. No one can justify receiving the massive forgiveness of God and yet refusing to forgive others the little bits that they need to be forgiven. Such wickedness is beyond the pale. I know. It's difficult to forgive somebody when they've sinned against you. It seems so unfair to have to do that. You know, you have to let go of a debt that they owe you. You have to give up the right to repayment. You have to let go of those thoughts of vengeance. You have to release that grudge that you've been holding. It's more than most of us are capable of doing by our own strength. A preacher's sermon one Sunday was all about forgiving enemies, and he even asked the congregation, how many of you have forgiven your enemies? And most of the people in the congregation raised their hand, which made the pastor very skeptical. Come on. But there was one lady, an elderly lady, 93 years old, about halfway up, sitting in the aisle, Mrs. Jones, who didn't raise her hand. And the pastor thought to himself, well, at least she's being honest. And after the service, he was concerned about her, so He spoke with Mrs. Jones and said, I'm a little worried about you. Are you not able to forgive your enemy? And Mrs. Jones said, well, I don't have any enemies. And the pastor said, well, how can it be that a person has no enemies to forgive? And she said, well, it's easy. I just outlived the scoundrels. I suppose that's one way to deal with those who've sinned against you. Don't forgive them, just outlive them. And then bury them. But it's not God's way. It's not the way of the Christian who has received the massive forgiveness of God for our own sins. Look at Joseph in the Old Testament. If ever there was a situation that justified holding on to a grudge, it was his. He was sold into slavery by his brothers because they didn't like his message. But then, a little later on, God made Joseph the slave into Joseph, the right-hand man of Pharaoh. And his brothers came to him during famine, asking for his help, not realizing that it was their brother against whom they had sinned so grievously. And in one of the most emotional scenes in scriptures, these betrayers are now at Joseph's mercy, and they bow before him, and they confess their sin. And Joseph, with tears in his eyes, says, I am Joseph, your brother. And the brothers tremble with fear, fully expecting what they fully deserved, the wrath and the judgment of Joseph. But instead, he forgives them. Could the situation in your life that calls you to forgive someone else be any worse than that? Any more difficult than that? Or could it be worse than that of our Lord Jesus himself, the pure and faithful Son of God, whose own people tried to destroy him because they didn't like his message? He too was sold down the river by his brothers, his friends, the disciples, bound and beaten and bloodied. He became the ultimate slave to sin as he bore all of its weight and all of its punishment. But on the third day, God made Jesus, that bearer of our sins, into Jesus, the victorious Savior and King, the risen Savior. And now, alive from the dead, in one of the most emotional scenes of Scripture, he stands before his disciples in that upper room. And they fall down before him and they tremble with fear, fully expecting what they fully deserved, Jesus' wrath and his judgment. But then he speaks words of forgiveness. Peace be with you, he says. And all of a sudden the gospel hits you square between the eyes. There is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And suddenly, it's not so hard anymore to forgive someone else. At the beginning of the divine service, I think service 3, we quote the 130th Psalm. We say, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? And we all know the answer. No, none of us could stand if he kept a record against us. But before we can even answer that question, Paul answers it for us in Colossians chapter 2. He says, Jesus canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he did by nailing it to the cross. There's a saying that goes, when you forgive, you in no way change the past, but you sure do change the future. And those words could not be more true than when they are pondered in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Until he came, until he bore my sin, until he died for me and rose again, until then, my future was one of darkness and of separation and of hell and of fire. But now he has removed my sin from me. In the psalm, we said, he removed it as far as the east is from the west. That's a long ways. And that's a whole new future for me and you.
A future of reconciliation, of peace with God, a future of light and of eternal glory and of eternal blessed fellowship with the Savior and the saints and the angels. And since all of those debts have been canceled in Jesus, it's time for us to let go of the debts that we feel other people owe to us and to change the future of our relationship with them. If you've been thinking about revenge against someone, it's time to remember how the Lord forgave you and to forgive them. If you're holding a grudge against someone or keeping a record of their wrongs against you, it's time to remember how Christ nailed your record of wrongs to the cross and forgave it. Forgive them. If you're slandering someone's reputation as payback, it's time for you to remember that Christ speaks at the right hand of God on your behalf and prays and intercedes for you. And to start treating your neighbor with love and to forgive. If you're avoiding somebody here at church or somebody in your family because of something they did or said, it's time for you to remember that Christ did not avoid you, but He came down from heaven to be your Savior. And it's time to forgive. And I know that what that person did to you might be inexcusable, but that does not mean it's unforgivable. It is forgivable by the power of Christ's mercy at work in us. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. In the precious name of Christ, amen.
May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.